on this August the 23rd in the year of our Lord 2017. And you are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. And being a Wednesday, it's Insight Wednesday. Now, just before my program, you heard By the Way, and he was saying much what I'm going to be saying here. He says, you know, you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden, you see something you've never seen before. And you're wondering, was that there before? And then he talked about the Bible, that you can be reading the Bible, maybe the same passage, and all of a sudden you see something that you hadn't realized. That's really the purpose of a pastor, to open up the Bible, as he said, with new insights that people just don't recognize. And that's what we like doing on Insight Wednesday. We're going to be taking a look at Proverbs 11, and I'll tell you why. Because if you ask most Christians, what is the purpose of the book of Proverbs? A lot of times they will say, well, it gives you insights from God as to how you ought to behave, how you ought to follow your path as a Christian in the world. I don't agree with that. And the reason I don't agree with that is, even though there are some very good passages of advice, the real purpose is the distinction between law and gospel. I mentioned not long ago, and some people remarked about this, that when I went through confirmation, I knew the catechism real well, but I did not learn much about law and gospel. As we remember from the catechism, there's only a short section entitled Law and Gospel. But the fact of the matter is, every portion of Luther's small catechism, which is only about a dozen pages, needs to be understood from a law and gospel point of view. So also with the scripture. And so I've chosen Proverbs 11 as a good example of, this is not just talking about our behavior. This is really talking about the distinction of those who live under the law versus those who live under the gospel. Well, what does that mean, to live under the law? Are we all living under the law? We're not talking about obedience to God's commandments or to the civil government. That's appropriate, and we ought to do that. But to live under the law is really a slavery to the view that by the law we get right with God. So those who live under the law, they think their actions, that those are what is going to make them get ahead in life. Well, let's just kind of take a look at some of these verses in Proverbs 11. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, what are we talking about here? Well, somebody would bring their produce to be sold in the market, and it's got to be weighed. So when somebody asks for so much of a weight of grain or wheat or corn or whatever, they would have to weigh it. Now, it sounds like that a false balance, which means that the individual has done something with the balance. So even though, and let's just use our modern terms, it appears to be 1 pound in weight, it's really only 14 ounces. So you can understand that 100 pounds, they're actually not getting paid for 200 ounces. That's how much it's short. And so that's quite a big thing. So obviously, one can say that this passage is saying that in the civil realm, people need to be honest with how they weigh things, how they buy things, and so forth. It's really talking about the honesty in a marketplace. No, I don't agree with that. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is looking at the heart of the individual doing this. This is a person who definitely is living under the law. He wants to get ahead. We see that in a lot of advertising, that they don't really tell the truth about their product, but they give some benefit that a lot of times may not be really part of the product. I was looking at a Subaru commercial recently. They're very good. And there's this child growing up in the house, and he asks to do one thing, he asks to do another thing, and the answer is always no, because they don't think he's old enough to do it, etc. And then finally, you hear his mother asking him, where are you going? He says, well, I'm going out with friends, and he's going to take the car, the Subaru. And she says, well, fine, no problem. And the advertisement is giving the impression that parents really trust their Subarus to take care of their children. Now, I don't think that in reality, if a child drives properly, any car is going to be quite protective of him. I don't think there's something about Subarus that have a better chance of your child not getting in an accident. But you see, they give a benefit and people say, oh, that's the kind of car I want to protect my child. And there's nothing about the car, about the mileage, about repairs or anything like that. It's all about a benefit. And that's why people have false balances, because, boy, they can get a real benefit of it. They can get more money than really what it is. But then the next part is, but a just weight is his delight. His delight is not just in the just weight, but in the person who has a proper scale. He's making sure that he's not cheating. So what we're really talking about here is motivation of the heart. And the way to understand law and gospel is the law, those who live under the law, do things out of self-interest in order to get more money, to get more praise, to get ahead, whatever. Those who live under the gospel, because of their love for Jesus, they don't want to cheat anybody else. This is really how God regards individuals. Not on the basis of their works, but on the basis of the motivation behind their works. Verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. I kind of like watching movies with sharks in the water and things like that. And I was watching one recently where an actor who acted in shark movies was to be the prime person putting forth a wonderful holiday at a beach. And he pretended he knew everything about sharks. And when a real shark came, he said, oh, stand out of the way, I'll take care of it. And he picked up a knife, and the shark actually bumped him, so he fell down. He almost became unconscious. There was somebody with real pride, and he was disgraced. In fact, he had given a video camera to a young boy and say, make sure I'm in the center of the shot all the time, when he went to fight the shark, and then he got defeated, and so he wasn't happy with the picture. The humble is wisdom. The humble here is not a person who just is humble, but he's humble because he recognizes he cannot achieve whatever other people think he can. And he's willing to let God show the way. And that's where wisdom is. In fact, after this prideful person was defeated, a young woman came forth and then did defeat the shark in a proper way. But she wasn't bragging about it ahead of time. She was just doing what was necessary. You find this all the time, that the reason we have sin, remember what's at the center of sin is an I, is because we have pride. And what's at the center of pride? Another I. And so once more, the proverb here is not telling people to become humble. No, you can't become humble. In fact, the harder you try, you end up pretty soon boasting about how humble you are. Humility comes from those who live under the cross, recognizing that apart from Jesus, we really are unable to do anything. In fact, until you have that faith in Jesus, everything you do is sin. And what Proverbs 11 is showing is how that sin comes about. For example, verse 3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Now, this is God's understanding of those who are people of integrity. That is, they're trying to be honest. They're not breaking the commandment, thou shalt not steal. But the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. How so? Because even if they start making additional money or they start having a better life, they're still never satisfied. They want more and more. And so when one is a person who has integrity and is upright, following the will of God, out of love for Jesus, that's something that God really applauds, in contrast to the crookedness of the treacherous that ends up destroying them. I've said this for some time now. God not only has natural laws in effect where when you do something wrong, you're going to have a bad consequence. Like if you don't believe in gravity and think you can jump out of a three-story window, you're going to get a big surprise. There's also built-in consequences to sin. I have yet to find a divorced couple with children where the children are really happy over their separation. There are all kinds of consequences that occur when sin takes place. Going on, verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Now see, that obviously is talking in spiritual terms. Because what is the day of wrath? Take a look at other passages in the Bible. It's referring to the day of judgment. And you see, if it is a day of wrath, which means a person is going to hell, it doesn't matter how much his riches are. Jesus picks that up in a parable of Lazarus and Dives, Dives being the word for rich man. He goes not to heaven, and he wishes that somebody would go and tell his brothers, you know, what's in store for them. And Abraham simply says, they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't listen to them, they won't even listen if someone is raised from the dead, which of course did happen with Jesus. What we're talking about is not a guideline that you ought not have riches. It's just God's understanding that in the day of judgment, riches are not going to profit you. What does? Righteousness delivers from death. Now, how can you understand that except in spiritual terms? The righteousness that God is talking about here is the righteousness you receive from Christ, particularly in your baptism or when you come through to faith through hearing the word of God. God gives you his son's righteousness. We talk about that as a glorious exchange, where on the one hand, guess what? You give God your sin. On the other hand, you get his righteousness. By the way, I see phone calls coming in. We do not take phone calls on Wednesday. The only day we do is on Friday. So either keep your question till then, or you can email me, of course, with it, and we may have the opportunity to answer it on the next day. What we're taking a look at, the Bible, when it is talking about advice for living, needs to be understood not just from a moral point of view or a political point of view. This is from a religious point of view. Each of these verses are giving you an explanation of how those who live under the law exist in contrast to those who live under the gospel. Verse 5. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. Now, this is obviously not talking about our morality in daily life and our behavior, because none of us are blameless. If we were blameless and righteous, well, yeah, we would have our ways straight. But actually, that's not accurate, because none of us are blameless, unless you look at it from a religious, spiritual point of view. Who is God talking about in regard to the blameless? He's talking about those who are blameless from his point of view because their sins have been forgiven. And how about all those good works that they have not been able to do? Guess what? They have received the righteousness of Christ. So from God's point of view, and remember, he had the apostles, especially Paul, write to certain congregations, to the saints at. Well, does that mean everybody was a holy saint or just some people? No. Anybody who believed in Jesus Christ is considered a saint. They are blameless in the sight of God because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He took the punishment you deserved. So, the righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight. What way? Jesus talked about two ways, the broad way and the narrow way. The broad way is the way that most people in the world behave, thinking that by their works they're going to get ahead in life and also in death. But that's not going to happen, not by their works. So therefore, in contrast to the righteousness of the upright, we have the treacherous ideas and behavior of others. So that what we have here is the wicked falls by his own wickedness. This righteousness that the blameless receive, this is the righteousness of Christ that's attached to us because of our faith in the promises of the gospel, which therefore helps us understand verse 6. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust. Now, the word lust here doesn't just have sexual connotations. It's dealing with any kind of lust. You might want your neighbor's car, or you wish you had a better house, or maybe a better family. Or, in other words, the term lust here is really what you desire. That's not in line with God's word. And when you have that kind of an attitude, then you are taken captive by your lust, because that becomes the motivation of whatever you do. Again, it shows what it means to be living under the law. Verse 7. When the wicked dies, his hope will perish, and the expectation of wealth perishes too. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead. So here's another long gospel point of view. Being living under the law, when the wicked dies, any hopes he has perish. You just can't take it with you. And take a look at all the other religions of the world outside of Christianity. Every one of them is law-oriented. And so their hope, I'm going to heaven because I killed the deceivers of Allah. Or I'm going to heaven because I'm really a good person in comparison to my neighbor. Their hopes perish. And their expectation perishes also. In contrast to the righteous who is delivered from trouble. On Judgment Day, you can either be sent into trouble, as the goats were in Matthew 25, or you can be sent into a tremendous time of peace and joy and happiness, as the sheep were in Matthew 25. So reading the Proverbs from a theological point of view opens up how God regards those living under the law from those living under the gospel. Verse 9. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. You see, this isn't just something you can put up on a billboard and get people to follow it. Because if their heart isn't correct, then the godless man, and notice, on the one hand, there is nobody who's godless. Whatever you trust is your God. But they don't have the proper God, namely the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Therefore, they are really godless. They may think they have a God, but they don't. Even atheists trust in something. Maybe reason or whatever you want to find in their life. So the godless man, he would destroy his neighbor because it makes him look better to others. But the righteous have a knowledge. And what is the knowledge which delivers them? First of all, their sins are forgiven. Heaven is their home. And God desires that all men be saved. Verse 10 is good. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. I've become a little bit addicted to certain programs. I tape them all so I don't have to listen to the advertising. So I can see an hour program in about 35 minutes. But these are detective stories about individuals who end up murdering maybe their spouse or a neighbor or something like that. And it's always interesting when they finally catch the perpetrator. Everybody is really glad. Well, that's definitely the perpetrator's of Satan. It indicates that on the day of Judgment Day, Satan is going to be totally destroyed. He's going to be taken out of your life. You will be really glad. And when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. What city? The city of God. Augustine did a wonderful book on the two cities. And he wasn't talking about the church and the state, although he does deal with that in the book. But primarily he's talking about the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. There's no doubt that the upright are referring to those who trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Today your assignment is take a look at the book of Proverbs. And don't read it from a moralistic point of view. Read it from a theological point of view. And you'll see law and gospel being explained all the way through. Because once more, those who live under the law, do things motivated by self-interest. Those who live under the gospel are motivated because of their love for Jesus Christ. It's a huge difference. By the way, on the next Law and Gospel with Wes Reimnitz, a lot of people have been talking about the solar eclipse. Well, there is definitely good scientific reasons why it occurred, but what about religions? How do they examine a solar eclipse? And we're going to show you how Christianity is quite different than a number of other religions on Rumination Thursday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.